Hi, I'm Kate. Catherine, kind of easy to remember, similar names. And I know that you've heard a lot about millennials and adapting strategies and pivoting and all these different ways, and people are really successful with doing that for their brands. And what we wanted to highlight here was just a slightly more complicated version. I think Northwell was the presentation before this, which the healthcare space is very complicated as well. But what's interesting about a brand like Lincoln Center is that it's got all the traditional challenges that brands have in terms of reaching younger audiences, making themselves more relevant, breaking through. But they also have this layer of the nonprofit complexity of the fact that just filling seats isn't enough. You need to have an ongoing base of donors and members. And I mean, it's just this massive institution that needs a lot of funding and fueling outside of just the transactional element. And of course, when you think of the nonprofit element, there's also a board, and it's a little bit slower moving, and sometimes I would even say at a glacial pace. So there's a lot more complexities, and what we wanted to share today was some of the real progress that Catherine and her team, along with partners like myself, have been able to try to chip away at that a little bit and start to have little bets and show the organization and also just the performance arts industry that you can become modernized and you can start to change some of your strategy by still staying true to your roots of classic performance arts. So it's a little bit of that mashup that we're going to talk about today.
Okay, so hi, I'm Catherine. I'm at Lincoln Center. Y'all have probably...
Maybe you should say where you're from.
Oh, I'm from Texas originally. So you've probably heard of Lincoln Center, but just in case you haven't, it is one of New York City's most iconic cultural institutions, and it's actually known as the largest performing arts mecca in the entire world. So we have 16.3 acres that house 11 different constituent organizations, and all of them present the absolute best of film, classical music, dance, theater, opera, you name it. And Lincoln Center has been around since 1959, so we're actually going into our 60th anniversary next year.
Do you want to list some of the actual organizations?
Sure, yeah. The Metropolitan Opera, New York City Ballet, New York Philharmonic, Chamber Music Society, the Juilliard School, that's where I went to college.
Before working with Lincoln Center, I didn't realize all of those were part of Lincoln Center. I thought they were all their own institution, so very incredible. And I mean, what's also really unique about that is that they have all of this amazing inventory and content, if you will. But what's also challenging about that is that it's a very classic, traditional business model of buy a seat or buy a membership, and it's often not typically relevant to a lot of the millennial mindsets of subscriptions and real time and interactive. And they're seen as quite expensive. I mean, one of the projects I worked on around the same time was for HBO Now, and how can HBO Now cut out the cable bill and go straight to their to constituents rather than having to go through the cable providers, because millennials didn't want to pay for their massive cable bills just to get HBO. So in a lot of ways, too, it's, you know, how can you start to think about these bigger bills and how people are spending their money and how millennials are budgeting. So the 5% here represents the 5% base of Lincoln Center's members, which is millennials. So only 5% of all of Lincoln Center's amazing stats that we saw before represent millennials. And that's in stark contrast to the 29% that make up New York City. So there's a massive opportunity to start to chat with millennials and get them more involved.
I'll also add our average age is 68.
Right.
So everyone's very old
that
up at Lincoln Center.
That probably beats out almost any other organization in terms of average age of consumer.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the AAACP.
Yeah. Anyway, one way that we are trying to combat that is through the Lincoln Center Young Patrons Program. So it's a program designed for people in their 20s and 30s that are interested in supporting and engaging with and celebrating the arts. So this group fundraises for Lincoln Center. They volunteer for different programs at Lincoln Center. And our goal as an institution is to not only interest them in Lincoln Center, but also the performing arts at large. So we've been doing a lot of work in that that area over the last couple of years.
And this has been really successful, the Young Patrons Program. The problem is that not everybody knows about it, and these are people who already have their antenna up towards the arts. So there tend to be people who are already interested in, have family members, went to Juilliard like Catherine. They're already kind of in the funnel. So our task was, how can we create a relevant messaging platform? How can we create relevant programming? How can we create just general relevance to millennials to get on their radar and get them interested in performance arts, not even just specifically Lincoln Center, just in general, almost as a category. And so we knew that once people were involved in the Young Patrons program, they were really engaged and they didn't typically see it as this old-fashioned brand. But we had to think about the existing, really the existing just attributes and what people were perceiving Lincoln Center. So a handful of attributes that we saw a lot in our research. Iconic, classic, prestigious, best of the best. You know, really people, a lot of people who haven't even been to Lincoln Center might have some of these halo perceptions. But when you think of the millennial mindset, you might see it as old, boring, pretentious, or exclusive. So we had a really interesting challenge to reposition this iconic brand and make sure people saw it as iconic, not old or exclusive or boring. So the first thing we did was a brand personality assessment. We knew that we needed to figure out what specifically could Lincoln Center stand for and how can we as marketers refresh all of the great things that Lincoln Center stands for and has been so successful over the years. How can we refresh this to be relevant without losing its roots? I'm sure many of you are familiar with this challenge. So what we wanted to do was blend them together, to match them up. The real purpose we had was to bring fresh thinking to the legacy of Lincoln Center. And we came up with a bunch of tone of voice exercises, a couple guidelines. I can read them out loud. We are young, but we're not immature. So how can we be fresh-faced without being kind of goofy? We're not necessarily silly, but we're fun, those types of tone. And that was really helpful because when you think of the challenge that Catherine and her team have, you only really get one or two shots to prove that this is the way forward. And so we had to make sure that it was a powerful move and that it was really rooted in data and insights, and not just we couldn't choose the wrong partner, we couldn't choose the wrong program because people were already a little hesitant about moving in this direction anyway. So with this as a foundation, we were able to create a really strong brand platform and this tone of voice and basically a filter for which types of programming would be good to reshift the brand.
So one of the things that we decided to take on as Young Patrons was this event called Yaytoven. It took place earlier this year in Alice Tully Hall. So it was kind of our first really large-scale performance and party that sort of showcases how classical music informs all of what we know and love about popular music today. And our goals for this particular project were to diversify our audiences, both socioeconomically and with age, and also raise awareness for Lincoln Center, for the Young Patrons, and just for the performing arts at large. So rather than tell you about Yaytoven, we're going to just show you a quick video to give you a sense of what we were trying to do.
Despite the 200 years between them, Kanye West and Beethoven share a lot of artistic similarities. In Yaytoven 1, we used an orchestra to show how Kanye West's album Yeezus employed formal elements that were symphonic in scope. In Yaytoven 2, we've added pieces from The Life of Pablo, which goes even further in exploring classical ideas.
Two eras, one radical spirit. This is Yaytoven 2.
That is Yaytoven. Just a little bit of background on it. Yuga Kohler and Johan, the two artists that were speaking in the video, were friends of mine from college. They did this thing out in LA, and it had like thousands of people show up to see it. And so we thought we should give it a try in New York and see if we can really get people to think differently about Lincoln Center and what it does. So Lincoln Center had never done anything like this before. And I will say, from the inside, no one wanted to take it on. I'm lucky they even let us do it in the end. But we put together a really, for us at least, what was a really compelling campaign designed to reach millennials and get them interested sort of in what we're doing. So just a little bit about that. We released the video you just saw as kind of the kickoff to this campaign when we announced that we were going to do this project. We produced a series of videos after the fact and released them week by week on Reddit, which Lincoln Center had never used Reddit before. And so we got in with a lot of the Kanye bloggers and like people that would never even think of Lincoln Center, and they started promoting these videos for us, and it was all free. So I'll just show you one of these so you can kind of see. This is from a rehearsal. Just click on that. That's an example of some of the videos. And another cool thing to point out is that the orchestra that we used for this, they were all Juilliard grads. So there was another Lincoln Center tie there. And then we did a partnership with Splice. If y'all are familiar, it's like a beat maker. A lot of DJs use it. So they created a custom Beethoven beat maker for us. And it took some iconic Beethoven music, his Symphony No. 5, probably his most famous piece. It was actually performed at Beethoven, and you could add like Kanye style beats on top of that. So this was widely shared on social media, and we had a party leading up to Beethoven at our atrium at Lincoln Center. It's where we do a lot of our free programming. We invited everyone to come and show off their beats and had prizes and all sorts of things. So we'll give you a sample of this.
Did not go to Juilliard.
You'll just click play.
Oh, you can hit play. That might be better. Okay. Yeah. You didn't like my...
So we'd actually gotten it approved when they did it in LA beforehand, but to be able to perform some of the Kanye music in the hall, we had to go through a third party to get it approved. But it was really inexpensive to do. But in this case, the Beethoven piece of this, we already owned it. So this putting this together was easy. Some other cool things that we did, we put the some iconic Kanye lyrics and Beethoven quotes on the Lincoln Center steps the night of the show, so anyone walking by could see them. This is an example. This is a God dream. We produced some swag that we sold at the event, and then on the far right is a photo from our Oxcord party where we played all of the beats. In addition to that, we built out a special website for the event, so it looked very different than Lincoln Center typically looks. We branded it as the Young Patrons, so like the young, more fun people at Lincoln Center. And we also produced podcasts, playlists, all sorts of things tied to this event. So all in all, this event was extremely, extremely successful for us at Lincoln Center. It was the largest event that we'd ever produced. We had more than 900 people attend, and 500 of those were new to Lincoln Center, so that was one of our goals. And it had a huge wait list, hundreds of people long, and everyone was under the age of 40, which was also one of our goals. And since we have to fundraise, it's part of what we do, we got 38 members out of this to join Lincoln Center and support us. And it also just raised the group's profile and Lincoln Center's profile among new people. Like, we were featured in The Root, Complex, Hypebeast, places like that. You'd never expect to see Lincoln Center on any of those culture type sites. So this is, after the performance, one of the artists wrote this on social media, and it really, I think, hit at what we are trying to do as a brand. I'll just read it to you in case you can't see. It says, "My favorite part of Yeethoven last night was at the after party when a bunch of people started breakdancing in the lobby of Lincoln Center. It felt like a moment of cultural progress and creating more of them, not just for the sake of it, but to open people's minds to deeper modes of thought through novel art and products is what I'd like to make my life's work." So that's really what we're trying to do. That in itself is how we're trying to reach these new audiences. So it's not necessarily we're going to put on Kanye just to put on Kanye and get young people there. It's we're going to show the audience how Kanye and is similar to Beethoven, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, this was one activation that was so successful that basically it's sort of kickstarted a new way of thinking at Lincoln Center. We're currently working on a project now of, you know, how can we engage younger audiences. Catherine just has a new promotion, a new job that's now overseeing not just young patrons, but also just young millennials across the entire campus, really, right? I mean, that's massive. It's going from just being a donor program to how can we engage and bring in millennials across the board. So we're starting to think about just different ways of attracting and engaging millennials outside of the typical model. And, I mean, it seems you would know better than me, but it seems like you've kind of gained a lot of ground and respect from the board and from a lot of the leadership about slightly more innovative, thought-provoking ways of engaging new audiences.
Yeah, I have to say no other arts organization in the country that has the kind of history that Lincoln Center does is thinking about millennials really at all. They're so focused on, you know, raising money when they need it. We call it the annual fund, but this is really taking an approach of like, these people will be very important to us, you know, for a long period of time. We need to start engaging them now versus start focusing on them when they're 68.
So that's all we had. Are there any questions, or how are we doing on time, Ryan?
We're good.
Yeah, so the question was, did we get any pushback from leadership on this and kind of how we dealt with that? Yes, we got a ton of pushback. I wouldn't say it was from the board necessarily, but really from our artistic programming team, because they really make these kind of decisions. We just went along with it anyway. We did it despite the issues that it was causing. We at the time didn't get any help internally. It was essentially me doing it on my own with some outside partners. But after we were able to prove its success even just one time, now we've got the institutional support we need to do it again. So I think it just takes doing it once and proving that you can. Yes, we definitely took that into consideration. So millennials are sensitive to ticket prices. So what were the ticket prices for this? We started them at $25, and they went up to $125, and the $125 included the party. And the ticket sold out in just a couple weeks. We didn't really have to promote all that much, to be honest. Yeah, the question was, should we keep ticket prices low or should we raise them because it was so successful? That's an ongoing conversation. I think we are actually just coming off of a 6-week study with McKinsey about how Lincoln Center is engaging with millennials. That project came out of the success of Yeethoven just to show like how the organization is now on board. What we learned there is that innovative, really cool programming is like the hook to get people in, and then cost is the barrier for anything to follow. So we're kind of thinking about it. We don't really have an answer, but my instinct is having a range is probably best, because as an institution, we're all about access. So I think just for mission's sake, we will have to have lower cost tickets. But we also have to make money. So I think figuring out what that balance is important. Yeah, the question was, do we have sort of a journey outline for these people? We're actually in process of that right now. So we are, as part of the McKinsey work, we've designed a couple of pilots that are designed to test like what we can get these people to come to, whether it's classical, whether it's another event like this. We've got an event coming up in November as part of our White Light Festival. It's one of Lincoln Center's festivals. We do it every single year. It's a little more experimental than just your plain classical music or ballet. Anyway, it's hip-hop focused, so we're trying to see if we can get this group to come to that, which we would still consider as part of our traditional programming because it's on a series. It's not just a one-off. So yes, we are thinking about the journey. We don't want to just have them come once and never come again. Like, we definitely want them to come back.
And I think a big part of it, too, is the value exchange. You know, it's because there's first of all, you've been on their radar, so now you have a messaging platform for them. Like, for example, my husband and I are now getting messaging about the, like, martial arts one that's coming mm-hmm. up. Do you know, I don't know what it's called. But we're going to go to that. And that we're not, you know, my radar's up, obviously, with Lincoln Center, but we don't go to a lot of the traditional events. And so we now get the communication. So even in and of itself, just being now part of their communications platform is a huge win. And then also just thinking about that value exchange over time. Is it just going to tickets, or is it being a part of something bigger, or what's the cause behind this? That's something we're working on with Catherine too.
In addition to Reddit, which platforms did we use? Facebook, Instagram was probably our biggest. Twitter, we don't typically use Twitter for young patrons, but all of this stuff was very popular on Twitter. I think that's it. The Reddit surprisingly like took it to another level, I think.
And having such high quality content on Reddit too was pretty unique, I think, versus just.
We posted it. I can't remember the names of the three like groups we posted on in Reddit, but one was like Kanye focused, one was kind of classical music focused, and I think one was sort of mashup. No, Lincoln Center at the time didn't want to touch this project, so it was sort of just uploading. Yeah, we had the artists were sharing. I created a Reddit account for this. So how did we collect the data for this? Well, we collected age, which was really important for us. So now we have all these people's age in our database and can then target or send them to other kinds of performances. I think, honestly, we didn't collect nearly as much data as we wanted to, but that has since become a focus for the organization. So we're totally revamping our databases and everything to be able to, like, input these people and moving forward figure out what to do with them and who they are. So this kind of made us realize, oh, we're not tracking the way we should be. Yeah. We have income on the young patrons that are members, but just general audience members, we don't have that. But it's something we're definitely hoping to get.
And that was something, too, within the identity and personality research that we did initially. It was how can we make sure we're not being exclusive socioeconomically, and like what sort of ways can we have either free events or low-cost to entry events. So that's an ongoing consideration as well.
So kind of our paid social strategy. So we only had a $10,000 marketing budget for this, and we used, I think, 7,000 of it. So you can speak to that more than me. I'm just getting into marketing with all of this, but I don't think it's that much money to be spent.
I think there was a lot of reliance on influencers and on people's own passion for this and how unique and innovative it was to help
be that paid lift in lieu of a big paid budget.
We spent money on editing the videos. We had the footage already. Some of it went to this aux cord party that we hosted in advance. And that's pretty much it.
That was the main content.
Yeah. Yeah, Kanye was definitely interested in it, but he didn't get involved beyond just essentially giving his blessing to the artists. But we didn't pay any influencers to push this out for us. We gave them tickets to the show and the party. And I think they were just interested in it and came. We also had, and that was on like the more popular side. For the classical side, we did use the musicians and the orchestra.
And there was a, we didn't really include it in here because this was a little bit more social focused, but there was a pretty big PR lift too, like The Atlantic and a lot of different publications just picked it up and started talking about it just because it's different and it's a little slightly controversial. I mean, not in the big scheme of things, but for this world, it's a little controversial.
Yeah.
Yes, did we track the conversations on social? The people interested in hip-hop were super, super excited about it. The classical people, a lot of them were not. That's not surprising to me, coming from the classical music world. So yeah, it was interesting to follow those because the two groups had such different opinions on it.
It was a little divided, especially based on the perception of Kanye. If people, you know, love him or hate him, that was a big influencer, where I think that was really not the point. The point was to say these are both artistic geniuses. Let's look at the parallels, and that was a hot topic for some people from some of the comments I saw.
Our social media team really handled that for us, but I know they were really closely following a hashtag, and they use Sprout Social. For the young patrons?
No,
Lincoln Center.
Oh, for Core Lincoln Center? Yeah. We do have a pretty big following on Facebook. Instagram is getting more and more popular. Some trends that we've noticed is people don't seem as interested in the performances as they do in like the campus as a whole and kind of what that means for New York City. So it's just an interesting, like, what's been more popular, I guess.
Yeah, like the master brand.
Yeah.